League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Packers fans, welcome into the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined as always by Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood, here tonight from MetLife Stadium in New York, aka East Rutherford, New Jersey, where the Packers' little win streak momentum came to a sudden New York traffic stop, losing 24-22 to the Giants. Guys, our colleague Pete Doherty and I were talking about this after we left the locker room, that it felt like there were so many little storylines in this game and no big prevailing storyline. But I'm still going to ask you what your big prevailing storyline is, Spoon. Like, what are you walking out of MetLife Stadium tonight kind of assessing about these Green Bay Packers?
I don't know if I can make an assessment about the Packers. I just can make an assessment about the game. And I think they were just poorly prepared, poorly ready for what the Giants were going to throw at them. And the players just didn't respond to whatever it was they were being asked to do. And when that happens, you're going to lose. And in a very winnable game, mm-hmm. You know, they should have walked out of here with the victory. And they couldn't, you know, really do anything right. So, I don't think it has any, I don't think it ends their season. I don't think it knocks them out of the playoff race. I just think it was really a stinker, and they better figure out what happened.
Ryan, we talked about during the week the danger of this being a trap game. And then Keyshawn Nixon said something tonight about we can't play down in these games. Is that what they did? Did they play down to their opponent?
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear. You know, we saw some things tonight that we hadn't seen in a while. There was more bad penalties, especially early in the game. It really set a tone. It didn't persist all game, but it set a tone early for something that hadn't happened the last couple of weeks, which was a slow start. And they kind of recover from that, but I think Jordan Love learned a pretty big lesson that his night ended on a really high high. I mean, this is another close loss, but the difference is the four losses by 11 points to start the season. The offense had a position, was in position time and time again to make a play, to put a drive together, to go win the game at the end, and they did that. I mean, they got the touchdown at the end to get them the late go-ahead score, and then the defense coughed it up. So this was different. But the lesson that he learned is no matter what you do, job number one is taking care of the football. And as a quarterback, you can't be careless with the ball. I do wonder if without Aaron Jones, without Christian Watson, Jordan Love might have been pressing a little bit tonight, because there's an element of this offense that just doesn't exist without 33-9 on the field. But that's a lesson for him. Big picture, everything that this team wants to do is still ahead of them. If they go and take care of business down the stretch of their final four games, they'll be in the playoffs. But they can't play down to another opponent, because every week we talk about every week's a potential trap game, because they're going to be the favorites. They've got to learn from this, and they've got to play at their high level, the level they're capable of, the level they showed during the three game winning streak, and not down to the level of the opponent that's across the field from.
Now, Spoon, I'm going to play devil's advocate and kind of ask you the for the flip side of that opinion. Mm-hmm. Is this team, quote unquote, good enough yet to say they are playing down to an opponent, or have they just been playing up the past 2 weeks?
Yeah, that's a good question. Or have the other teams been playing down to them? You know, I mean, maybe Detroit, both Detroit and Kansas City have been struggling, and maybe those victories weren't as great as we thought they were. I really think it was a week of really, I don't know if it was underestimating, but they had this game plan on both sides of the ball, and, you know, none of it seemed to work. Mm-hmm. And then in the second half, they didn't do a whole lot to change it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they were dying for someone to make a big play of some sort. You know, Tucker Kraft mm-hmm. finally made a big one. A.J. Dillon made one in the first half. But beyond that, nobody was really just beating someone for a big gain. And I really thought that Wink Martindale got the best of LaFleur on this one. Mm-hmm. You know, that he kept running the end of rounds was a mystery to mm-hmm. me. You know, three straight times, and the third time you're out.
And then again on the two-point conversion.
Well, that was the third time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they ran it three straight times, and it just didn't work anymore. And that's on the floor.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was going to be my next question anyways, was, you know, there were times in some of those other losses where it was like, okay, I can see what they were trying to do there, and the execution wasn't there. You know, the chemistry's still not there. The timing's not there. Tonight, you just kind of had to sit back and wonder, like, what was their plan here? What was their – was it something the Giants were doing to shut them down, or did they just – not have a good plan, and did they go to the well on that end around too much? It sounds like you think they did.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't think they had any answers. They didn't, mm-hmm. you know, this is a game they when they're in trouble, they got to get Romeo Doubs into the game. Mm-hmm. You can't just let him, you know, run and be a decoy. Mm-hmm. He's got to get into the game, and they got to figure out a way to get him in the game, and they didn't.
Ryan, I know you kind of talked and focused on Jordan Love tonight, and you said earlier, like, you know, there's some positives to take from this game for him. If you are Jordan Love this week, though, and you're going back and watching the tape, what are the things that's jumping out to you as like, well, I messed up there, or I should have taken this tactic against this look, or, you know, this is where I could have changed this game, maybe.
Well, first of all, understanding that although you are mobile, you're athletic, and that's a good positive game, you're not Barry Sanders. Follow your blocks. You know, the fumble, he had Tucker Kraft ahead of him. It sure looked like he got a first down if he carries his momentum, follows his block. But he decides to juke inside instead, and he's met by two Giants tacklers, and he fumbles the ball because – Jordan Love, that's part of his game, but he's not a professional ball carrier. Like, that's not what he's paid to do. He's paid to throw spirals and manage the offense. So take what's there. You know, I do think that, you know, as an offense overall, it was clear, and Spoon touched on this, it was clear that the verticality of their passing game is not the same without Christian Watson. And we've been talking about this the past couple weeks. For this Packers offense to be its best and for Jordan Love to be his best, they need their best receiver on the field, because there's things that Christian Watson gives them that nobody else in this offense can do. And it's not just the production, but without the presence of his speed on the field, it really changed the angles, the space available mm-hmm. for the playmakers around him. And they still got, you know, Tucker Kraft had that long catch down, which was really impressive, down the middle of the field. Jaden Reed had a good night. Dontavian Wicks came up in a couple important moments throughout the game. There's still playmakers on this offense, but none of them are Christian Watson. So, you know, Christian, what's the thing that we know about Christian Watson? He's injury prone, right? How do you try to still have some verticality in your passing game on a consistent basis if he's unable to play, if he's inactive? They've got to figure that out. And I'm not saying that they can just go out there and be the same, because it's not going to be. But the Giants were able to take advantage of being able to press the line of scrimmage more and kind of shrink the field and coverage in a way that the Packers need to figure out.
Spoon, is this also maybe the first game in a couple of weeks we've seen where they really missed Aaron Jones?
I don't know. I think Watson's absence was more important, because they couldn't really pull the Giants, you know, out of their single high coverage. They just could not challenge them down the field, and they needed one or two big plays down the field to back the Giants off. You know, the Giants were pretty swarming around the line of scrimmage. It seemed like they had a single high safety a lot of the time, and they were just taking, you know, all the short stuff away from Jordan Love. And then their pressure was good, too. But they really needed an explosive pass catcher. That was the difference.
You know, I think the natural reaction for some fans after, as you said, the momentum came to a New York traffic stop, as high as everyone's kind of been on Jordan Love, might be to, oh, maybe that was premature. I still think Jordan Love showed a lot of good tonight. He didn't take care of the most important job, which is
take care of the ball.
But he showed a lot of good. The positive at the end of putting a drive together, you know. He can't help that his defense coughed up the game at the end. He did at the end what he needed to do. It doesn't change my mind from what we've seen on Jordan Love. I still think he's a really talented guy. I still think he is ascending. It's just an example that when you have a young ascending quarterback, it's not always linear. It's not always going to be a straight arrow north the way it'd been the past three games. Sometimes you're going to have these hiccups. Sometimes you're not going to play your best game every week. It's been, what, like 4 or 5 straight weeks that Jordan Love's played the best game of his career until tonight. Like, that's going to happen. So how do they recover from that? And I thought the response at the end was promising going forward. There's things they obviously have to clean up, especially early in the game. As Jordan Love said after the game, the first half was not up to our standard. But I do think that there were some promising signs that he was able to come back from a game that early in the season he might have folded, because it was a rough go in the first half. And he came back without his two best playmakers on offense on the field with him. And there were some promising things going forward. So big picture on him, my mind's not really changed on what we've been seeing. I think there's a lot of good there.
Pete made a good point. October was just nothing but down, down, down. And then November was nothing but up, up, up. That's the kind of roller coaster you're going to get with a young offense. And so this is kind of part of it. Spoon, I know you like Dontayvion Wicks because of just kind of the toughness he shows. So what do you think about Malik Keith?
Well, he should have caught that first one. I mean,
that was a weird
ball. He can't let someone strip the ball on a touchdown.
What's the rule on that? Is that 3 steps?
You need three feet down.
Okay.
Yeah. And you just can't let someone. You've got it. Tuck it away. Don't start celebrating with it or whatever he did. You know, and then he came back.
He just bobbled it.
No, it got stripped out of his hands.
Yeah, he got raked out.
Yeah. The defender came up from behind him. And
it was before the third step. I was just watching that in slow motion.
Yeah. So, you know, he did get an opportunity to make up for it, and he did. That was, you know, probably even more beneficial than that. It probably gave the Giants less time, but in the end, if he would have caught the first one, the Packers might have had more time to go back and possibly kick a field goal. I didn't think anybody played great offensively. You know, Dylan ran really hard, gave them, you know, everything he had. Patrick Taylor gave them a lot. But I thought their wide receivers didn't play very well. I just didn't think they got anything. And I don't know. Like I said, you know, you got a guy like Romeo Doubs, and in a game like this, this is where you have to get him the ball. You have to find a way to get him open. Mm-hmm. You have to scheme him open some way, because you know he's going to catch the ball, and you know he's going to be good in the red zone. So get him the ball, and they just didn't really do that.
Small note on Patrick Taylor. There was a moment towards the end of the first half where he's running, and it's like he wanted to pick up more yardage, which I guess, but they were working against the clock too. And he didn't go out of bounds. That's now 2 weeks in a row he's done that. Like, is that...
Now, that's why LaFleur got all up in him right on the sideline. He was furious with him.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Something you should know to do in that moment, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, he might have thought, you know, and I thought this too, that if he could break inside, he had a bunch more yards to go, but I was wrong and he was wrong. But that should be conveyed in the huddle, get out of bounds. You know, we only have, I think they had two timeouts left at the time.
Yeah.
And they had to burn one because of that.
One of those situations where 5 seconds is more important than 2 yards.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or 8 yards. Even if there's 8 yards inside, there's nothing more important than getting out of bounds there. I mean, you've got to get out of bounds. Here's what I'm wondering on Romeo Doubs. So he had 7 targets. How much more do you think they should have got the ball to him? Because he had 7 targets tonight, was second on the team to Jaden Reeb, who had 10, but a handful of those were those jet pass sweeps, were basically run plays, right? But they're called passes.
Yeah.
He had the bad drop, caught the ball, but out of bounds at the end of the first half. Right, the comeback route.
Oh,
that was second half, I think.
Was that second? I thought that was the end of the first half when they're trying to put that drive together. One of the last plays.
End of the first half, they were coming this way. Right. He dropped the ball in this end zone.
No, he caught it, but it was out of bounds. It was the end of the first half when that dig route on the right sideline.
I'm thinking of the one he caught in the end zone, but out of bounds.
No.
Okay. My bad. Sorry.
So I know that you said no one on offense played well, so I'm assuming you mean Romeo Doubs with that too. But yeah, some of this is he dropped some opportunities tonight as well, and I just 7 targets is it's not like they didn't throw to him. How much more do you think they should? What should the ceiling be?
Well, it's not the number. It's the quality of how are you getting him open. What are you doing to get him open? And it's the same way, that they would work Davante Adams open. Sometimes you've got to figure out. You've got to move him around. You've got to get him in motion. You got to get him working off of Jaden Reed. They finally got, figured out they got a couple of some man coverage down at the inside the red zone, and they got a nice out on third down for a first down. I think that set up like first and goal at the 8 or something like that. I just didn't think that they figured out a way to when your offense is really sucking. Then I think you have to find a way to get your best receiver open. And even if he's not getting open, figure out a way to help him out. And I just didn't think that many of the throws were quality. The one in the back of the end zone, there's no way he could have caught that. There's no way he could have got his feet down on that.
I completely agree with that.
The one at the sideline, he did – I wouldn't call that a drop. I mean, he had to put both feet down. It did – yeah, he had it in his hands, but it was bobbling it a little bit. That was a really – I guess maybe it's a drop, but it's a really tough catch too. I mean, I don't know how many of their guys can get both feet down in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Everything else was just a little dart over the middle. Mm-hmm. That's all he got, and he was usually covered.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't see anything where they really figured out a way to get him open. And we know he can get open. We've seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
They were just really focused on Reed, getting the ball to Reed. I don't know. Seems like he's the guy that you should target or you should work to get open.
Here's the other thing I'm wondering, and we can have different opinions on this, but are we sure that Romeo Doubs is their best receiver at this point? I think with Jaden Reed's ascendance, he might – his versatility, and just seems like he might have a little bit more juice,
maybe
a little bit more burst.
Yeah.
I think he might be their best receiver at this point. I think it's close. I mean, Romeo Doubs is certainly important.
But Reed is a slot receiver, and so he's limited in, where he can play on the field, and I think Doubs can play everywhere. I think if Reed were their best receiver, I don't think Doubs would be getting most of the doubles, which is what I kind of saw. Reed, they're trying to turn Reed into Deebo Samuel. Yeah. I mean, that's basically what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And he's not Deebo Samuel. He's a good player, but he's not Deebo Samuel.
Not yet.
And
sure.
So, they just overdid it on the end of rounds today.
But, to play devil's advocate, was Deebo Samuel his rookie year? And I'm trying to remember. He may have been. I just remember coming out of college, he was a good college player, but he wasn't you know, it was he wasn't a guy everybody was salivating over. Didn't he kind of develop?
I don't remember his numbers, but, I mean, he's such an explosive player. Yeah. I mean, you could tell right away that that guy had, you know, explosive ability. Mm-hmm. He got into a good system. I don't remember what he did his first year, but I know in talking to people, I remember talking about him. And I think he couldn't stay healthy early on his career. I'd have to look it up, but he's... I mean, he's like a special, special athlete. Yeah. He's big. He's bigger than Jaden Reed. Mm-hmm. You know, he's stronger. He breaks tackles, and he's incredibly fast.
Yeah. Let's flip to the other side of the ball. The for whatever the offense did or didn't do, the defense gave up. Does anybody have DeVito's numbers in front of him?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he rushed 10 times for 71 yards.
And that's really what it was.
Unacceptable.
Yeah. Do you guys know what his rushing on the season was? I think in like 5 games going into the night. I looked this up because it's so all right, so quick side story. Uber driver that drove me in tonight, big Giants fan, right? So we're talking about, you know, DeVito, and he's like, you know, he this guy's opinion was, he might not be able to run like Daniel Jones, but boy, anyone's got a better arm than Daniel Jones. Like, the Giants fan base is so down on Daniel Jones. But that's what he said. He might not be able to run like that. And tonight he ran like Daniel Jones. Going into tonight, he had 83 rushing yards on the season on 21 carries.
Total?
Yeah. That's what he had going into tonight. Tonight, what did he end up with?
10 for 71.
10 for 71. There was no book that he could do what he just did.
I'm glad you said that. Because, Spoon, I think you were over there with Kenny Clark when I was. And he was asked, like... You know, was there tape to show DeVito would do this? And he was like, yeah, there was tape. But was there?
No.
And like, did they have the right plan to attack him? And I guess maybe slightly in their defense, did they know to have that plan if there had not, if he had had, what, 83 yards in 5 games or whatever?
Well, the first problem was that they couldn't get him on the ground. They had pressure. And they couldn't get him on the ground.
How many times did we see a hand on him and he just boop, right out of there?
Yeah, and then when he did get free, they were so far down the field not really worrying about him that, you know, he got some really nice gains. Now, where it really got bad was when they started suckering their ends because they knew they were playing Saquon Barkley, so... aggressively that they decided to do some read option with him, and that was just like wide open. So that's where, you know, okay, after you get beat by that once, you know, you got to tell your end, yeah, we're still playing Saquon Barkley, but don't let this guy beat us. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't let him beat us. And I didn't feel like they ever got a feel of how to rush him. You know, they couldn't get a hand on him. They couldn't, chase him into a confined area.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just had a great day. Maybe he just had a really good day moving around the pocket, and the Packers had a really crappy day rushing him. I don't know.
I think a big problem with this, and this is not to absolve Joe Barry, but Joe Barry's best adjustment was not available tonight. Because if Quay Walker's active, it's an obvious decision that, okay, Quay Walker, you go spy DeVito.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't active. So then you're searching for plan B, plan C, trying to find something else other than the obvious adjustment because it's not available. And along those lines, the Giants finished with 209 yards rushing, 34 carries. It's the second time since September that the Packers have given up over 200 rushing yards. The other time since September was Pittsburgh, almost carbon copy. What do those two games have in common? Quay Walker was inactive both games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a coincidence. This is a different Packers run defense when Quay Walker is on the field.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that him and Devondre Campbell together have not been together very often because of injuries. And boy, they need those two guys, especially Quay Walker, to stay healthy because his athleticism, his range on the second level changes this defense, especially against the run. really in all phases, but especially against the run when he's available. He wasn't available tonight, so I think that was a big part of this.
And then Pete actually mentioned to me, you know, that they finally put a spy on DeVito in the second half. Mm-hmm. I didn't catch who it was. Was it McDuffie?
I think they put Devondre Campbell on him, from what I recall seeing. I remember seeing it a couple times. I think it was Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really think the problem was that they were so invested in stopping Barkley that, you know, they let, and you would say, let DeVito beat you, you know, make DeVito beat you, stop Barkley. But sometimes I think you got to be a little more balanced. And, you know, they played Barkley great on those short yardages and first downs. But they just did not figure out how to stop these guys on third down or, you know, on some passing downs when they were letting DeVito just kind of move around in the pocket. And I don't know how that was related to stopping Barkley, but I just have a feeling that they were so consumed with him. And I feel like they get that way sometimes. They get so consumed with stopping mm-hmm. one guy that they forget that there's other guys around.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let's think they did it a couple years ago when they put all their focus on stopping Derrick Henry on that Thursday night football game, and then Ryan Tannehill just stood back there and picked him apart all night.
Right.
And yep. I'm trying to think. I know they've done it in other games. That's just the first one that comes to mind. Barkley finished with, what, 20 for 86, a long mm-hmm. of 34. DeVito had a better rushing average than him.
Yeah, and Barkley tried to give him the game back. You know, he had that run, 34-yard run he had, should have ended the game. And pretty much wrapped it up for the Giants, and he fumbles.
Yeah.
Without even being hit.
Touched, yeah.
So, you know, this was just an instance when a team played, you know, bad football, mm-hmm. just bad football all the way around. And the only way they were going to pull it out was if someone just rose above everybody else and, you know, made the difference. And they didn't have really anybody who could do that.
You know, from the quarterback comparison standpoint tonight, when you put those two guys on the field, Jordan Love's a hell of a lot more talented. It's not close. But, Tommy DeVito didn't impress me watching him much at all with his arm. He had that one really good throw on the touchdown, a good play. But
mm-hmm.
just watching him, eye test, really not impressive. But you look down at his final numbers, and they're not eye-popping, but 17 of 21, 158 yards, the one touchdown, a 113.5 rating, because he didn't throw an interception. He played clear.
And he knew where to take his checkdowns.
You know, the difference in the two quarterbacks tonight, Jordan Love's a lot more talented. Jordan Love didn't play clean. Tommy DeVito did. And that in a lot of ways, and Spoon, I think it was, what, a week ago that you wrote about how the Packers are playing defense just well enough to keep the opposing mm-hmm. quarterback from playing worse than Jordan Love.
Right.
Well, the biggest part of that is taking care of the ball. Tonight, Jordan Love didn't. Because of that, he was the more talented quarterback. But he won the better quarterback in the game because yeah. Tommy DeVito was clean.
And he's still, you know, he's got to figure out that deep ball thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing, that's, you know, two plays like that. The one to Touré should have been a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one he threw short to
Wicks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the pick. Wicks was open.
Yep.
Even though he got held, he was mm-hmm. open. And I'm not sure. I know he got some pressure from his right side, and I don't know if he short-armed it or something, but he's got to figure out a way to hit those because those are game changers.
Yep.
That Torrey one, that would have been a touchdown, and, you know, a touchdown instead of a field goal, you know, that could have been the difference. But you put that more on Love, not maybe arcing it enough versus just that – I mean, that seemed like a hell of a play by the DB, too.
It was a great play. But if he were able to put it a little bit farther, I think the guy can't get it.
His receiver might have been held. I didn't get a good look at it. Are we saying he was held? I didn't get
on the Wicks interception?
Yeah. Was he
held? Yeah, he was kind of held.
Yeah, I mean,
held,
he was kind of stumbling.
So he was a little held, which slows the receiver down, right? And it was still underthrown to the receiver, even when he got a little bit held. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what the issue is with it, because it's not like he doesn't have the arm.
Right.
He's got a killer arm. Mm-hmm. We've seen it. The throw that he had, I think it was to Dobbs, the one in the right end zone in the second half.
Yeah.
That was dang close to being an incredible throw. Yeah. I mean, on the run to the right, just flipped it out. He's got a dynamite arm. I don't know why he can't hit the deep ball.
Today was just, I mean, he had Touré on that one where he was, you know, kind of coming to the ground. I mean, he was getting about to be hit. I don't know if he's even up, you know, falling to the ground, and he sidearmed it, but I don't know how he missed him. Touré was wide open there, and he just, you know, flailed, you know, and it went flying and way past him. He just, today, everything was just a little bit off. And then you got Reed losing the ball. Did he lose it in the lights? I mean, we couldn't talk to him because he's in the concussion protocol. That should have been a touchdown.
Yep.
They just, it was like everything they could have done to win this game, they didn't do.
Isn't that football? Because last week he hits Dobbs on that 33-yarder that's just, you know,
a
beautiful arc and a quadruple coverage. When it's your night, it's your night. And when it's not your night, it's not your night.
Yeah.
Well, it's especially football when you find a way to lose as a heavy favorite, right? That's how you lose. That's playing down. That's...
Or when you...
They're the better team, but they lost because they didn't make those plays.
Yeah. Or when you stink and you still have a chance to win.
Yeah.
You know? It's like... We played our worst game of the year, and we should have won.
Yeah.
And that's
where how they should be talking.
At the end, if the defense hadn't given it up at the end, to me, that was about to be a really impressive win because they played like crap most of the game and still found a way on the road in prime time to go win a game. Like, they were that close to that, which is growth. There's growth there. Now, they're not into moral victories in the NFL. They lost the game. So that's the story, right? And it's a big loss. But that's something this offense, especially this quarterback, could not do 2 months ago. It just couldn't. When you got these slow starts compounded upon themselves, they got kicked in the teeth out of the gate, and they couldn't ever turn it. And they got kicked out in the teeth out of the gate tonight, and they turned it. So it was that close to being a pretty impressive win, the type of win that if you want to be a good team, sometimes you need to get, but they're not quite there yet.
Could also be a good lesson. You know, if you want to be a good team, you got to find a way.
Yeah, it's getting a little late for lessons, you know.
I guess lessons in terms of, like, you know, this year was always supposed to be more about 2024, I guess, in terms of that.
It could be a lesson when they go to Minnesota and, you know, they find themselves in this position again, probably. And they got a really tough game, I think, with the Bears. And even Tampa's not going to be an easy one.
Right.
They do have to learn something from this. But winning this game would have been far more important, not just from the record standpoint, but from the fact that, okay, you know, even when we stink, we can find a way to win. That's really confidence building.
I think this could be a lesson for them because, and we won't know for a week if it is, but because down the stretch, they very well might be the most talented team on paper that they've got last. I think that they're more talented than Tampa Bay, and I think they're more talented certainly than Carolina.
Who, this team?
Yeah, I think on paper they might be the more talented team each of the next four games. It's going to be close in some cases, but they're certainly not going to be a heavy underdog on paper the rest of the way. What do we talk about all week? This is the first time that we're going to see this team in this role as a heavy favorite. How are they going to respond? And we just saw how they responded.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. It was not good. They were sloppy against a team they should have beat. Maybe predictable, because this is a young team and everything's new, and this was new. They hadn't been in this position yet. And if we've learned anything about this team is that they've got to learn the hard way before they get things right, right? I mean, that's been the story of the season. So this could be a lesson, I think, for them going forward, but only if they learn from it, or else it's just missed opportunity.
I'll tell you one thing. LaFleur better reassess his ability of judging practices. Didn't he say this was the best practice of the year?
Really?
He said, he said after the game that there were no indicators that that this letdown was coming. It was clean all week in practice.
Yeah.
He had no warnings.
Wednesday, I think he said, or Thursday, I think he said that was the best practice they had all year or something like that.
Yeah.
I think he better change his glasses or something.
One lesson that was definitely learned tonight was by Keyshawn Nixon. He said after the game, I got to just fall on it. He muffed a punt that gave the Giants the ball back, I think, on the Packers' 31-yard line. And then they were able to knock it into the end zone to cap that drive. Coincidentally, the Giants then muffed a punt on the ensuing drive, and the Packers got the ball back, and then they were able to get points out of that, I think a field goal. But, I mean, Keyshawn Nixon, statistically and eye test, but especially statistically, is the best kick returner in the NFL, and that's a bad mistake. You know, sometimes if a guy loses a ball in that situation, you're like, oh, well, that just kind of happens. But Spoon, I asked Nixon afterwards, are you taught to fall on it or are you taught to get up and try to get more yardage? And he said, you're not taught anything. It's just instinct. Yeah. Agree?
You have to read the situation. You have to read, you know, at that point, you know how many guys are coming down. You know how long it's been since the punt was released. You muff it. And you're lucky enough to recover it, then just lie on it. I mean, it's just common sense. And we know he's ultra aggressive, but sometimes he's got to be smart about it. It's like, it's you know, they benched him after that from kickoffs and punts, and put Jaden Reed back there, and that was the right thing to do. That was just a dumb move for a veteran kick returner. Mm-hmm. Don't do that, you know? And he had a rough game. I mean, then he got beat in man coverage for that 32-yarder that clinched it for the Giants. Mm-hmm. He just got smoked on that route. I'm not really sure why they were in man coverage, you know, given Barry's such a zone guy, and then all of a sudden they're in man coverage and they didn't really blitz or anything. So I'm not so sure about what was going on there.
Especially man when they're just trying to keep everything in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Nixon also said, just on that muffed punt to kind of wrap this up, he said he picked it back up because he didn't feel anyone around him and he thought he had room. But then he also said that the Giants are not who caused the fumble. He hit it with his knee when he was, you know, getting up and trying to take a step and get his footing back. So he kind of caused it himself.
That's
but
why you don't get up.
That again, that's why you don't get up.
Yeah, that's an even better reason to try to do it.
That's, you know? Yeah, to the point. That's why you just fall on it at that point.
So ever since he
just a dangerous took over situation. The job
midway through last season, the one thing that's been clear from the get-go is that he's a fearless dude. And that's a good trait to have in that position, that return specialist. You want a fearless guy. A guy who can be bold. I mean, what was it, the Cowboys game? Like his first or second punt return ever? He caught it at the 5-yard line with two hands, like an outfielder. Like, you know, that's just it's who he is, and that's usually a good thing. But and because it's a good thing, you want to rein him in without him completely losing that, and that's a delicate balance. But I thought they handled it really well because where's the limit on that? And I had the same two words in my head that you just said. It's common sense, like. Be bold, be fearless, but don't do something that's lacking common sense. You have to still have the discipline to do that while being bold and fearless. And I think that, you know, that one, Matt LaFleur was very blunt about that after the game tonight, and two, he was very blunt about that during the game tonight. I think that it was a good message to send that if you're not going to, no matter how talented, explosive, important even you are, in this phase, if you're not going to do things that are common sense, you're not going to be on the field in this role. That was a good message to send. The question going forward is whether or not Keyshawn Nixon got the message, because he can be the best in the league. He was an All-Pro for a reason at that role, but only if he does things that are common sense.
I'm trying to remember, and I'm looking at the possession sheet to remember too, though. So did the Giants have another kickoff after that muffed punt? Because I know we said he was...
Yeah, he had at least two. And okay. Jaden Reed was the kickoff return the rest of the way.
Okay. Because I know that... Okay, so after the muffed punt and they scored, then they kicked it off, and Jaden Reed was out there for that kickoff. During that kickoff, Nixon was in the injury tent.
Yeah, they had another one. Jaden Reed was on the field again for it.
Okay. I didn't know if they had it. I couldn't remember if they had another one or not. So he was officially benched for kickoff returns, yes, too.
Well, I assume he was. I didn't...
He's on the field in defense, so...
Yeah.
So, okay. They head back home now to face Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield, who it feels like this will be the third year in a row they have faced Baker Mayfield with his third different team. So someone that they at least are familiar with. Spoon, if you're the Packers and you're Matt LaFleur, do you maybe want a bad week of practice to have a good game?
I don't know. You have to go over everything. You just have to go over all the tape. And, I mean, corrections is going to be a huge part tomorrow. I would not, say, let's put this behind us and just move on. I would definitely put everything out there and correct it and figure out what went wrong. Because there's some things in this game that will come forward in the other games. And they're going to have to figure these things out.
Ryan, what are some of those things they've got to figure out this week?
Well, you know, I'm not big picture too concerned. Just I guess my gut feeling watching this game and thinking of the down the stretch is I think they're still okay. I could be wrong. It's just a gut feeling. And goodness, I think all of our gut feelings have been off all year on what this team's going to do. So. But I think they're going to be okay. I think that a absolute part of tonight, if you were to say the five Packers players that they most want on the field, you know, four of them weren't on the field tonight, most likely, right? Aaron Jones, Christian Watson, Jair Alexander, and Quay Walker. That was part of this game. I'm not making excuses because it's a terrible loss. It's a bad loss. It's a game they shouldn't have lost anyway. But it was part of this game. And they need to get healthy as a team. I think that's important. They need their top players back. But I do think that there's a lot of good that still is out in front of them. I think that they've shown they have talent. They've got to put that together. They've got to stop playing sloppy. They've got to learn from this. And Matt LaFleur said it after the game. I think that's the first thing he said was, it's a valuable lesson that no matter who you play in this league, if you play sloppy, you can get beat. They have to, this as a young team, they have to let that absorb, sink in, understand that, and not do that again. That's the whole key for them going forward.
Speaking of getting healthy, so not only is Jaden Reed in concussion protocol because of the play on the two-point conversion, Dontavian Wicks has what he believes is a high ankle sprain. They're still waiting to get back an official word, but that is what he told reporters in the locker room tonight. So something else to watch this week as they get ready to face the Buccaneers. Guys, any final – I'm going to do 30 seconds because it's 1:21 a.m. Spoon, any final 30-second thoughts?
I think I pretty much expressed, you know, what I feel about the game.
You're talked out.
It was just a bad game, and we'll see. How they respond to it is will kind of, to me, dictate how the rest of the year goes.
Ryan?
Nothing other than say I love this city. I had a heck of a time in this city. Favorite city on earth that I've ever been to. Early flight back Tuesday morning, but I'll miss New York.
New York, New York. That's my Frank Sinatra.
Country where dreams are made of.
Well, I was actually going with Frank Sinatra, not Jay-Z. Okay. But right. that didn't come through in my excellent singing voice. We will have wrap-up coverage for you from East Rutherford and then leading into Sunday's game versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So stay tuned to PackersNews.com for all of that. Till next time, this has been the Green 19 Podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com.
League Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.